Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 391 of Power Rangers, Time Force, episode 13, The Quantum Quest.
It aired April 28th, 2001, written by Judd Lynn and Jackie Marchand, and directed by Isaac Florentine.
From Bridge of Dragons?
Yeah, the very same.
You talking about iFlow?
It's that iFlow. It's got that good iFlow in this one.
That iFly flow?
Do your ears fly flow?
No.
No, same.
I got high and tight ears. I think they're a little wobbly. I got lobes.
Yeah, I'm worried about when I get old what my ears are going to look like.
They're going to start expanding like Vince McMahon's. You're going to have big old cartoon ears like he has now for some reason. I think his head shrunk and his ears didn't.
Just get caught in a good breeze and there I go. Just travel wherever the wind takes me.
If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it, I cough the whole time and edit most of it out as best I can. God, I hope this stops soon.
Everybody just has fun.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
Yeah. Mostly the fun stuff, but currently all the coughing is really just a pain in my biscuits, let me tell you. Do I do anything else? It's a Quantum Quest. I think I know which one this one is. We should go watch it. I think it's going to be a good one.
All right.
Time Force. Power Rangers.
And we're back. And we've just watched The Quantum Quest.
We did.
Is it a quest?
It feels like it's about to be a quest. But then it is, but it's not really so much a quest as it is like a capture the flag.
Yeah.
It's as much of a quest as Field Day was.
Right.
When you had to do capture the flag and then you got caught and you had to go sit on the sideline until someone tagged you back in. How did Field Day work?
I feel like you're mixing capture the flag up with dodgeball.
Yes,
because in dodgeball you get hit and you sit out, and if someone on your team can knock down the cone on the other team, everybody that was on your team,
or if you catch it, then one person can come back out. That's how we played.
We played it. If you caught it, the person that threw it is out.
It was an equivalent exchange. It was a one for one for us. We never really did the cone. We did Dr. Dodgeball. Have we talked about this before on the podcast?
I feel like we have.
We're retreading old ground.
Well, we're 391 episodes in.
There's only so much stuff to talk about. Can't wait till we talk about Double Dare again.
That's already happened at least two times.
For sure. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is, that is what it is. You don't need to look into it.
I mean, you can go check it out.
Go check it out. Go look at what we used to do and when we were ambitious young tykes.
See a time capsule of the podcast.
Yeah,
there it is.
It's just like it got frozen in amber around episode 205. HeyJackAndJosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's where our archives are. Those been updated for Lost Galaxy yet? Or is In Space, has In Space been put on there yet?
The last one I did is still the last one I did.
Okay, so In Space is not up yet. You should probably, I don't know how long we got till that starts falling off. You should probably look into that.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @MorphinGrid. We're on Dragon Fruit Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We're on Pod Knife and Pod Bay. And we're on Pod Quest. That one's a scavenger hunt. you get a podcast. You say, I want to listen to the Morphin Grid. It's like, okay. Well, here's an episode of the Gravity Falls Gossiper. And then from there, you had to link that one to another podcast, and then to another podcast, and then to one or two more until you get to the Morphin Grid that you want to get to.
Yeah, it's like 9 degrees of the Morphin Grid.
Yeah, except if you take a wrong turn, it's just rabbits all the way down.
Your punishment is rabbits.
Hey, can I tell you about one of their other spinoffs, The Lost Movie?
Well, yeah, we're basically a Pacific Northwest Stories advertising podcast. Hey, look. Hashtag non-spawn, maybe? I don't know. It seems like you might be in their pocket.
You would know. I wouldn't say it's dumb gutter trash that I love. I would say, like, no, it's television for your ears, Josh.
You're right.
I don't think you understand.
I forgot they had a catchphrase.
The Guardian calls it addictive. So I listened to the last movie, which is a TANF spinoff podcast. So it's Nick Silver and his hacker friend, his deep web darknet hacker friend, MK, who is the only good character in the entirety of the Pacific Northwest Stories canon. Because even a blind squirrel will find a nut once in a while. It's about them trying to find this movie that makes people go insane and just like kill everybody and gut themselves and go nuts. And the best part about this is that in the first episode, they reference a movie that has the same plot. So good job, guys. And then it turns out that the lost movie was God. But you can't look at God because you can't perceive God. So it drives you crazy. Wait,
okay. God.
Yes. Yeah, so they
the
did.
The creator of the universe.
The yes.
Or at least human beings.
Yeah.
Bare minimum humans.
Yeah, Menzies.
Is a movie?
Now.
That you can watch.
Well, you can't watch it or else you do go.
But, like, you have the option of trying to watch God the movie.
Well, so there's a group, obviously, that's trying to keep it under wraps. But also.
The Archangels.
I forget what they're called. I listened to it 3 days ago and I cannot remember almost anything. The Last Angels. El Angel Ultima. No, it's bad. It's actually got maybe the. It does stick the ending despite, you know, the movie being God, kind of. It's like it's God, but like subliminal advertising God. I don't have the time to explain
okay.
it.
Okay, so it's the set it and forget it infomercial, but like God's peeking around some of the corners in the background.
Yeah, so.
He's like, hello.
It does the trick, and I can't believe I've been talking about this for probably 5 solid minutes now. It does the trick of all Pacific Northwest stories where that it like has a decent hook. And the hook is that when they made the movie, everything in every shot was set up in such a way that it became God.
Oh.
Through like film tricks, which is exactly my stuff. Like that's exactly what I'm here for.
I get it.
This is all to say that no one should listen to any of these podcasts, but also you should definitely listen to all of these garbage podcasts.
Not only just so you can get more.
Just because I want them. Feed them to me like grapes, Nick Silver, Terry Miles. They're the same person. That's the trick. Oh, another cool thing about the last movies are like my friend Lori Henry will now read this excerpt. And it's definitely Alex Regan, who has been on TANF. So I don't know when they gave up on the kayfabe. I don't know what they're doing. I think they're working themselves into a shoot. I think they did that a while ago.
Well, there's also, in the Black Tapes, a character, TANF, that is not the same TANF.
Yeah, it's TANF with a U.
From the show that they made, TANF.
Yeah, it's TANF Butts, Brom Butts. I don't remember his last name, but he's like a psychic.
Man, the right hand over there doesn't know what the right hand is doing.
No. Doesn't know what anything. They don't know their ass from their elbow. Anyway, you want to leave us a rating and review? You can. If you want to warn people that like maybe we talk about the Pacific Northwest stories like a lot, or I do mean me, that's your prerogative. But if you want to leave us a rating review, that'd be great. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh for $1 a month. Get some cool stuff in return, including Tattoo Teens Yelling Fudge from Beverly Hills episodes, which the 8th one will be up soon. 7th one is up, and that one you learn all about Bill Nye's habits.
Yep. And even like a smidge about Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, mostly it's a dunk on Neil deGrasse Tyson episode. But yeah, you should go listen to that one. Anyway, all that stuff out of the way. This is a Monday episode, which we don't need to do any extra stuff, which is probably why I just talked about the last movie for 45 minutes straight, longer than the total runtime of the Lost Movie miniseries. Do you want to talk about the Quantum Quest?
Okay.
Okay. We start off at a dig site. There's an archaeological dig, or a dog site, as my notes say. I've been having a hard time typing lately. I wrote Power Tangers so many times.
I tried to tweet the like unpopular Zelda opinion thing like 4 times, and I just kept not typing.
I saw one that got through that was prefect.
Yeah.
Instead of perfect.
Yeah, that happened twice. One of them, instead of Overworld, it changed to Overload, and I was like, fuck it.
So they're on a dog site, and Dr. Hammond is the lead. Dr. Hammond, you might remember from Jurassic Park.
Dressed the same? Or is Dr. Hammond in Jurassic Park the old guy that owns the
park? Dr. Hammond is the old guy.
Okay.
But he's dressed like Sam Neill's character.
Dr. Grant.
Grant, yes.
Yeah.
Clever girl, whoever wrote this.
Jackie Marchand?
Probably. actually, hey, for real though, this is a good episode. Well, at least I think so. I don't know how you feel about it.
I didn't hate it. I like the episode. We'll talk about how I feel about some of the people in it.
Okay. Girl comes running out. She's there. I had to look some stuff up in this episode because there was a couple things I was like, that's got to be this thing. And I was right. We'll talk about that in a minute. Her name is Colleague, unofficially on the wiki. So Colleague, we'll call her Colleen. Colleen comes running out. And she's like, Dr. Hammond, we found something. So he goes into this dig site. He's uncovering a dinosaur skeleton, like bones, in like intact dinosaur skeleton. She's like, we found a thing. You're going to love it. And he's like, yeah, forget this dinosaur skeleton. Let's go downstairs. So he goes downstairs to the dig, and there is a little metal corner poking out. And he like dusts it off. And he's like, this isn't any metal I've ever seen before. Well, yeah, I mean, you're an archaeologist. How do you know what kind of metal it is? Are you a metallurgist? Are you a chemist? No, you're a bone doctor.
I'm trying to think. Because archaeologists also uncover, like, old civilizations and stuff. So he's probably come across some metals.
Okay, but...
And also, how many metals are on Earth, really? Like, 4 or 5?
I would say at least...
That was me being stupid on purpose. I don't want anyone to really think that I believe there's only 4 or 5 different metals.
There's probably at least 9 or 10 whole metals. You got aluminum, you got steel,
yeah,
got unobtainium.
Is that real?
You got unobtainium. It's at the deep end of the periodic table. It's those
The ones that are 3-letter symbols?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, used.
There's also, like, gold and silver.
Oh, right. Those guys. Tons of all kind of metals. And he's never seen this one before, so maybe it's...
This specific metal looks an awful lot like maybe it's not metal at all.
It looks a lot like...
painted plastic.
If maybe you spray-painted plastic.
That's why he's never seen a metal like this before.
Because it isn't.
It's not.
He's a pretty bad archaeologist then, if you can't tell the difference between metal and plastic.
When he's, like, hunched over, brushing it off and looking at it, it's at an angle, and he's lit in such a way that he looks... almost close to Harrison Ford.
He is a very low rent.
Yeah.
He's Haroldson Ford.
It's me, Harry Ford.
I'm Harry Ford, and I am playing Dr. Grant Hammond, which the wiki said that Dr. Hammond's name was a reference to Ashley Hammond from Power Rangers Turbo and Power Rangers in Space. No, dog. It's about the dinosaur movie.
That's what happens when you let anybody write whatever they want.
Didn't know how many people have looked at the Quantum Quest Ranger Wiki entry and went, yep. And didn't even get, like, nobody? Can I just go on there and be like, I don't know. I don't want to correct it. I don't want to fix it. I just want to put an asterisk on it and be like, maybe it's Jurassic Park. Crack a book. Or more accurately, watch a movie. I have never read the book. So they found this metal box. We cut from the metal box to Nadira watching her stories and just sobbing at how beautiful the second episode of Masked Rider is.
I was going to ask, thank God you looked it up. Because I was like, this looks like it was shot by Saban.
Oh, it was, in fact.
There's a guy in one of Ernie's old t-shirts.
Yeah.
And I was just like, is this like in Home Alone how they shot a scene from a movie that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
This was. And then in my head, I'm like, that is a very strange use of your budget.
Yep.
For this episode.
Yeah. Nope. They just handpicked episode 2 of Masked Rider and plucked it in there.
You can pick any of the other It's not late. You couldn't put Beetleborgs or VR Troopers here. Well, you picked the one that flopped the hardest.
I mean, to be fair, VR Troopers didn't do great either.
That at least got a second season.
That did
though.
Get a second season. Yeah, they did pick the worst one.
Look, Nadira loves it, you stupid kids.
You dumb babies. Why didn't you love it? Well, because Dex sucks and the car is too horny for kids. Maybe is why. And also, Furbus is a nightmare. Anyway, so it cuts from there to a newscast of the dig site where they're like, we found an alien box. Doesn't matter what they're saying. The important part is that Nadira is scream crying the whole time because her stories are not on anymore. And I don't know if I love it or hate it.
I hate it.
Okay.
I want to love Nadira so much, but they don't seem to want me to.
I think I love it. And I think the reason for that is that, like, we see Nadira being, like, a murderer. Because, like, she murdered two men in her first appearance, right?
Yeah, but in her last, like, six appearances.
No, last time she was pretty good.
Other than the last time when she was robbing a store.
The outside of a hotel. The back entrance of a hotel.
A Arial font underlined store.
Store.
She's just been whiny and...
See, but I kind of like... I think I'm coming around. I don't like the, like, when they go...
They need to show the good half of her. Just some more.
Yeah, I see. I think I like the dichotomy of it. Like,
if this made her so mad that she went and, like, robbed something and she went and picked a fight.
Or, like, cut her TV in half with her nails. Yeah.
But instead she just scream cried at it.
I just love how over the top it was.
I hear that so much at work. I don't want to hear Power Rangers.
You do work in toys. So that's going to happen. I think what I like about it is that, like, it's like, here is a girl. Like, she's a girly girl. She likes to do her nails and watch her stories. And apparently, she's very emotionally moved by Masked Rider. But
I also like that she likes to do her nails, because that's also her weapon.
It's also
she
her
wants
weapon.
To take good care of them. And I don't mind her wanting to watch her stories, because it does give her kind of like a spoiled child. Like, maybe she's mentally
she's like
a little
brat.
Stunted.
Yeah.
I don't mean that, like, she's a dumb idiot, but, like, she's a snotty brat.
She's coddled, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just want her to fight again.
I think they do need to do more of, like, her doing the robbing and the murdering and stuff. But I do like the counterbalance of, like, she can do that, but she also wants to watch her stories and paint her nails and, like, is mad when the power goes out because she has to dry her hair.
Yeah, when she gets back to doing some more badass stuff again, I think the scales will even out. But
yeah,
right now, it's a little too heavy on one side for me.
I think that's fair. So Rancic is watching this. We get a super duper close up on Rancic, and they are using a weird lens, so his face looks like skinny and smushed.
Yeah, and they, I guess, used like a pen to draw in the creases on his face.
Well, they were very close, so like no matter what they would have used, it would not have come off great on that. But yeah, and he's like, perfect. That's a power, that's a time force thing.
He saw the hieroglyph of the big Tyrannosaurus Rex,
yep,
like robot on the wall, and he was like, Time Force.
Time Force. You know how Time Force has dinosaurs?
You know what would be really cool?
If all their robots were dinosaurs?
Well, the Time Force Rangers are here, and they get their Zords from the future. And
yeah.
And they dug up this other Zord that was not from Time Force. It's like another Power Rangers.
That would be dope.
It's like the last remaining Zord from another set of Power Rangers. So our sixth
Ranger... It was like Zordon's lost Zord.
Yeah, the sixth Ranger doesn't match.
That would be very cool.
It's like a different Power Ranger.
Instead, they get a wildly irresponsible reasoning for this Tyrannosaurus Zord that is just bananas. Rancic calls for a monster. They get a monster named Brickneck. This monster looks dope as hell.
Brickneck rules.
Brickneck rules. He reminds me of a Guyver. Did you ever see the movie The Guyver?
I haven't seen the movie, but I have seen pictures of the Guyver.
Okay. It was an anime, and then, like, they made a live-action American version, and I think me and my friend Josh Bro are the only two humans alive that like it. I'm sure there's some people listening who are like, I love it, and that's great, but, like, as in rural New Hampshire, it was us and nobody else. So, this looks like the Guyver. His neck is a little brickish. It's got, like, a brick-esque pattern.
Which is weird.
It's
right?
Weird that they named him Brickneck after, like, all the cool things going on. They're like, your neck's a little bricky. You're Brickneck. Like, you're a Dick Tracy bad guy.
The only Dick Tracy bad guy I remember is Flat Top.
There's Flat Top. There's Butternose. There's Dongle.
Dongle. I don't want to see Dongle.
There's Rude Boy. There's Bazooka Joe.
Do you know what's crazy? All of those could be real.
There's Fish Mouth. And Mouthfish.
And?
Both of them.
Brett.
Brett's there. You got to watch out for Brett.
Yeah. Anyone could be Brett.
It could be anybody. That's the trick about Brett. If you think, it's just Brett, but then no. Then you're dead. Brett killed you.
So they call him the Hitman.
Yep. Did they ever do, like, Hitmania? They should have, right?
Yeah, they should have, but they didn't. Because he was...
the guy.
The first couple of title runs, he was the hottest guy in the company.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah.
I love Bret Hart, but he a little boring.
Yeah.
Not to watch wrestle if you're into the way he wrestles, which I think we are noted fans of. Yeah. But, like, Bret Hart the man is a little boring, but he was just the hotness for a while.
Yeah.
New Generation era was so weird.
Good writing and a strong push.
It could happen
to
you.
He was defending the championship against Fatu on Monday Night Raw in, like, the middle of the show. That gets you over,
I
man.
Guess that gets you over, brother. Remember when they used to defend titles?
I don't think you could do that again. I don't think you could make Bret Hart now. Not the same way you did then.
No, I mean, you'd have to do Daniel Bryan, but even Daniel Bryan had, like, that charisma.
Yeah.
That Bret just did not have.
No.
It's a crime that Owen Hart was never a world champion.
Yep.
I mean, here's the other person you could make the new Bret Hart, Cesaro, because he's Superman and can wrestle better than almost anybody.
Yeah.
But they just want to put him in a kilt and have him lose to Shane Ass McMahon, clean as a whistle, on the Royal Rumble. I'm not mad. Yes, I am. I'm very mad. I want better for Cesaro. Anyway, Bricka-Bracka looks rad as hell. And he's like, I'm going to kill the Power Rangers. Also, this is the guy who voiced a Digimon named Andromon. He's just doing his Andromon voice. But then when I looked him up to find that out, I was like, this is a Digimon. I got to figure out who this is. He also did Pumpkin Rapper, my boy, and Squat, among a million other monsters from Power Rangers. He's like a Saban guy.
Yeah.
So,
cool job. Terra Toad was another one, I think.
Terra Toad was one.
Listed. I can't remember any of the others.
Pachinko Head.
Oh, Vampirus.
Vampirus. There's a bunch. I might still have it pulled up, but it doesn't matter. We go to the theme song. Important to note, Dan Southworth is in the credits. I wonder if Eric will be important. Stay tuned.
Who knows? They don't name just anybody.
That's true.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Looking at you, all of Billy's girlfriends.
Remember Marge?
Marge.
Oh, who was the one who looked just exceptionally stoned? I don't even remember who it was.
I don't know.
She was like the Girl Scout leader. With Kim, when Kim led the Girl Scouts that one time, and her eyes, she just looked like she just was absolutely hard-boiled.
Penny.
You know, you might be right, honestly. Anyway, so we come back from the theme song featuring Daniel Southworth now.
Oh, yeah, he's a man.
Well, he's trying to be serious. He's a professional. He's, right.
He's trying to steal Wes's dad.
Yeah.
So he has to go by Daniel.
Oh, boy, he does try to. He does. In this one. We cut to we're at the dig site. They put the little box, and the box is like a box, but it's got like a slanted face on one of those skinnier sides and like a hole that maybe like a hand could go in, for example. Maybe you could also keep like action figures in there.
Or you put your foot in there, it's the bottom part of a little booty.
Yeah. Be a long Tootsie holder.
It's like a clown boot.
It'd be a very radical clown boot. So they put it in the box in like this metal like carrying case. Bricka-Brac shows up. I mean, I know his name is Brickneck, and I didn't think of like a human name for him. And we probably could have gone with Brett, but we blew that on one of Dick Tracy's boys. So he's gonna be Bricka-Bracka. And he shows up and he's like, give me that case. I'm gonna kill you. I'm Bricka-Bracka. And they're like, no. And then maybe the weirdest thing in the entire show.
I have a theory about it.
Okay. So let me set the scene. Let me set the table. A bunch of cops pull up. They're not cops, though.
No.
They're the Silver Guardians. Their hats all say CGD.
Yep.
Josh, you got a theory on this?
Yes. They're all graduates from Mount Wachusett's graphic design program. No, my theory is because there's some shots later on that are a footage match with Dan Southworth.
Oh, there's straight up like Sentai footage of like Dan Southworth wearing the guy in the Sentai footage in his outfit.
I think the CGD might be from the Sentai footage, and they're just trying to match the uniform.
Here's the thing. He didn't have the hat on in the footage match.
Not this time.
Which is the only thing that says CGD on it. Which So my theory is that Silver Guardian Department, Silver is spelt with a C.
Silver Guardian...
Dudes. Because they're all men. Because you gotta be a man to be a Silver Guardian.
Is Silver Hills spelled with a C?
Now, in my head, yes, absolutely. I don't think we've ever seen it spelled out.
It's never been written down.
It's Silver Hills.
All of time, it's just been passed down verbally.
No one ever... So someone put a C once, and you know, the first time they wrote it down, they're like, is that... Do we live in... is that Silver Hills?
The welcome sign just says welcome.
It just says welcome. And then someone's like, where do you live? Silver Hills. And they were writing it down. And for whatever reason, they just went with a soft C.
And then the police department drives by and it's CPD. And you're like, what? Where
am I? Am I in Silver Hills? No, this is Silver Hills, baby. And these are the Silver Guardian dudes. And they're here to shoot Bricka-Bracka and his robots. Then they get into, like, a fist fight with them because their guns are little weenie guns like we talked about.
Yeah, they shoot a couple rounds a minute, but there's so many cronies that they're immediately just swarmed by them, and so they just start punching them, which is admirable.
It's pretty cool. I do want to point out that Eric Myers spears one of these boys out of his boots.
I did not see that.
You didn't see it?
I missed the spear.
Oh, he like charged, and it was like an edge spear too. It was toit. It was like, it was very good. And then he goes back to fighting, and he tries to do something, and then he gets overwhelmed. And then the Rangers make the save. I think Bricka-Brack is about to kill him, and the Rangers.
Yeah,
make
he's
the
got
save.
Him down. He's got like his foot on him. And is about to chop his head off.
I think he's gonna decapitate him, and then Wes makes the save. He's like, I need your help, Wes.
You did, Eric.
You did. You were about to die, bud.
You piece of trash.
Just because you can spear a crony out of his boots does not mean that you weren't about to get your kappa detated from your head all the way. So there's a fight. Rangers now. The Silver Guardians are helping. They're doing their best, but they're just a bunch of boys. Just a bunch of lads with some little baby guns shooting at robots. Except for Eric, who does rule school at fighting.
Did we make an ELFS joke about these guys already?
I'm confident we did.
Because the hats don't help.
They are absolutely the... What does it stand for? Extra Liberation Front System. ELFS. Extremely Liberated... Friends of Santa.
I think that's it. Santa Claus ELFS. Effective Liberating Flight Squad. Because they had the jetpacks.
Because they got jetpacks. Wasn't the lead one like, we're the good guys or something like that? I don't remember what he said.
Yeah, because they go to bust Santa out of jail.
Right. There's a lot of movies about Santa going to jail. Why did everyone arrest Santa Claus?
As Santa's like, who are you? And he's like, don't worry. We're the good guys.
We're the good guys. And they got tinsel. And they cut the bars with tinsel.
They just garlanded and donutted a cop to his chair.
Well,
and cut through a jail lock with tinsel.
With like laser tinsel. The Santa Claus is a Buck Wild movie.
Effectively saying that the cops are the bad guys.
Well, that they're not entirely wrong. I don't know if this is the place for that, but I'm just saying I would trust Santa and his elves over cops any day. That's just me. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. So anyway, Jen kicks Bricka-Bracka in the butt so hard that he flies into a trench. It's just very funny the way she just like kicked him off like a cliff, and then there's like a dig site trench. They jump into fight. Eric is sneaking behind him, and they're like, give us back the quantum box. The control box? I think it's called the control box.
Did we explain? Did they yet?
I don't think so. Oh, so my note just says Quantasaurus and Quantum Ranger. And I don't know who said. I know later on.
Because I know Circuit explains it to them. But it might be after
this. Okay. Yeah. When they're explaining it to Wes. But they just say, like, Quantasaurus, which is not a great name. It will get a cooler name later.
Oh, I'm glad they realized it was bad and renamed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like, not a big rename, but it's definitely way cooler. And Quantum Ranger is a dope name, I think. Wes gets the box away from him. Don't remember how. They do a little fight. Wes gets the box. Brickabracka takes his sword, throws it at Wes. It lands next to Wes, and then he shoots it with his gun, and it blows up. And the box gets flown. Eric picks it up. Wes is, like, badly injured. And then Brickneck just dips because, like...
Well, he ran to try to get the box where it landed, but it was gone when he got there.
And he's like, I gotta go, and I'll come back later and find it. And he leaves. And they're like, Wes is very injured. We need to get him back to the clock tower right now. So they leave. We cut to Eric, who's at... They call it the storage depot. It's like a power plant.
It's just, I don't know, it's got a bunch of big crates in it.
There's a lot of crates, a lot of stairs outside, a lot of outside stairs and catwalks.
This isn't a place that's real. No. You can't go to the city storage depot.
No, it's not a real thing. But he's there, and he opens the box, and there's like the little controller box inside, and he puts his hand in it, because like... Obviously.
Of course.
Like, I can't imagine a situation where they're like, there's an alien box here that just has like an open front and you can see all the way down to the bottom. Like, yeah, I'm going to put my hand in there, obviously.
In Pokemon Red and Blue, in the burned up mansion where you have to like hit the switches on the statues to open and shut some of the shutter doors.
Yeah.
When you interact with the statue, it's like, there's a big button. Do you want to push it? And you're like, yes. And it's like,
yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Why even ask?
Same situation. Who would not put their hand in there? I feel like we never see like a shot to the inside of it, but I feel like there's like a bar in there. It's just begging for you to reach in and grab
it. To reach it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But so he reaches in to grab it like you do, and it zaps him. It's like yellow energy buildup, and he pulls his hand back. He's like, I'll figure this out later. And he hides it behind the stairs poorly.
Hides it as it just places it on the ground, tucked behind like a crate.
It's like still sticking out. Like, yeah. You could see it if you walked by. Like,
not think nobody comes to this place that's fake.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the trick. He's like, I know no one will come here. It doesn't exist. Then we cut back to, not back to, but we cut to two for the first time, Papa Collins and Soldier Man, Silver Guardian, number one. So,
and another person?
There's a scientist or a secretary or something. Because
he's flanked.
Yeah, and he's like... We got a lot of clients, and they're like, good, because I'm a for-profit
defense system.
Defense squad. That's what I like. And he's like, but we just can't keep up with the Power Rangers technology. Your son is a Power Ranger, because everyone knows that now. It's common knowledge. It was in the newspaper, I guess.
Eric probably told everybody.
Probably.
He's a jerk.
He's a little bit of a jerk, and I do kind of love him for that. And he's like, maybe you can ask your son. And Papa Collins gets a memory of Wes being like, I'm never going to help you. Power Rangers isn't for profit, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, don't ask about my son ever again.
I have no son. He's dead.
He's dead to me. And then Eric comes up and is like, sir, I heard the last guy with the red hat is dead now or something. I want that job. And Papa Collins is like, I need someone I can trust. I don't even know you. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, I don't know a thing about you. Yes, you do. That was established in the last episode.
Yeah, you definitely talked to him last time.
And he turns to the guy next to him. He's like, you're the leader now.
He's like, yes, sir. He just salutes, like, in general. He's not, like, looking at Mr. Collins or Eric or anyone. He's just like, yes.
Affirmative.
I am.
Saluting is like signing a document.
Yeah, and so he's the captain now.
And we get another... inner monologue from Eric. I feel like he does this a little too much.
It's weird that we never got internal monologues until Eric showed up, and then Eric and Wes both got them within the last two episodes.
Yeah, because the only other thing I can think of is we got a voiceover at the, I think, either the end of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or the first episode of Zeo, when they're, like, running into the rubble of the command center, and there's a voiceover of Tommy.
Being like, oh, we're real boned.
Like, oh man, they really blew this up bad. We were in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But that's the only other, they only did it that one time. It was weird then.
I'm sure there's been here and there, like, narration, but I can only think of that one and then these two.
Yeah, usually they say everything they need to say out loud.
Yeah.
Or you can read their faces to see what they're thinking.
Right,
which
yeah.
I guess we never really gave enough credit until they started doing this with Eric. Yeah.
It's just really weird because he's like, I'll show you. And then he leaves.
Yeah,
to
you're
going to
make me do this the hard way.
Yes, yeah, so he's like, okay.
I'm going to go put my hand in that box.
I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to get all the way up in there. So we cut back to the clock tower. Wes is unconscious and covered in so much makeup. You pointed out that he does look like a mannequin.
The lights just reflect off him, and he looks like he's made out of plastic. I did not recognize it as Wes right away. I thought they had taken the injured Silver Guardian guy and just brought him back to, like, take care of him.
Nope, it Wes.
But no, it was Wes. He can see it when it's more of like a top down angle.
Yeah,
but the angle they first come in, I could not even tell it was
he's
Wes.
Got like he's got like some like he's bleeding. He's got like my head is all tore up makeup. But then like his regular face is just like plastic.
Yeah,
it's very weird. I don't know what they're going for. It looks like Wes is having a bad time.
Maybe they're trying to make it look like he's sweaty.
And it just came off as plastic, like he's polyethylene. That's not a polyurethane.
Yes.
That's what skateboard wheels are made out of.
But that's a plastic.
Yeah. So anyway, then we get, and I guess this is for all of the Rangers. I thought it was for Wes, but he's unconscious, so clearly it's not. Circuit explains that way back when Time Force first started playing around with time travel.
When they were just force.
Or they were time force, but it was more of like an ambition than the thing they did all the time. They were like, let's make a giant robot Tyrannosaurus Rex. We've got records of them from 1993. Yeah. We know they can exist. And then we'll take this and the control box that goes with it and just send it back in time. Now, that's weird, but why did they do that?
Well, you don't want to send a person first.
I think they did. I think there was a person in here.
Well, they never say that.
They don't, but they do say that the control box and the Quantasaurus, got separated, which means that you need the control box to control the Quantasaurus. But who were they sending it to unless they sent someone back and he, like, lost it and then just, like, died in caveman times?
I don't know. I feel like – I don't know why you would send them as a pair if you're just testing it out. Also, the big mistake is they did not punch it back into time.
Well, yeah. It had to run.
It was just really poorly running runway.
It did a very goofy hustle, and it got there. And look, he's a big boy, and he just is a little funny on his legs, and I think he's doing his best. But yeah, he does like this back and forth hobble, and the green screen was like not synced up. It wasn't moving as fast as it should, so it just looked funny. But I don't know why you wouldn't send back anything not the size of a skyscraper.
Yeah, just, I don't know.
Like a car?
Just send an RC car through, make sure it works, put a bungee cord on it.
Or maybe like a robot that could talk to you then.
Yeah.
Because it's weird that you would send a giant metal dinosaur.
You know what's even weirder? Okay, so it must have gone like way back.
They're like, we'll send this to Dinosaur Times. It'll blend in.
And it gets there, and all the other dinosaurs on the planet died from shock.
That's what did it.
That's what killed the dinosaurs.
That's what had to have done it. And also, they're like, let's send the control box back in case a stray caveman wants to control a giant robot dinosaur.
Some iguanodon walks up and sticks its hand in there, and now it's a Power Ranger.
Like, that would be dope. But it'd also be very irresponsible to the time stream.
Yeah, I mean, this already is very irresponsible.
There's no countermeasure to this. They're like, we'll just send the... And then they put it in somewhere. I guess they just balanced it on the the Quatosaurus's nose, and they're like, I hope they get to the same place.
It'll stay up there. It's not like we're punching it through or anything.
And then it just, like, fell off into time and landed outside Kilver Hills. What a coinkydink.
So it falling off is why they couldn't get it back, right? Because they had no way to control it and tell it to come back. Or did the portal, like, get destroyed? Because when it hits the portal, there's an explosion.
Yeah, it went too dang hard. I don't know. And I don't think there's any satisfying conclusion. Because the control box, to me, feels like you need to you have it, and then you use it, and then you control the Q-Rex. But maybe it's also, like, a remote thing. Like, we can just, like,
it has to be
Wi-Fi it back.
Why else would they send them?
I don't know. So we could get separated, and then we could get a new Power Ranger. Spoilers.
Right.
So Eric goes back. Or sorry, no, we come back to Brick-a-Brac. He's at the storage depot. Then Circuit gets a alert from his mutant center saying that Brick-a-Brac is at the storage depot. And they're like, the control box, we gotta go. So they leave. They go to there. Wes wakes up a minute after they leave, and he's, like, very injured. And Circuit says exactly the same thing, which is, there was a mutant at the storage depot. But you shouldn't go. You're injured. Like, that's gonna work.
Yeah, he hobbles out of the bed, grabs his clothes, because his whole upper body is taped up.
Yep.
And he just runs off.
I like Wes.
Wes is a good kid.
He's a good boy. So he goes there. Eric also gets there. So the Power Rangers get there first, and they fight the Brick-a-Brac. And he's like, the signal is peaking, which means, and he looks over, and the Power Rangers are like, the Power Rangers.
Yeah, he's like, I have finally located the Power Rangers. Aw.
Ah, beans, this isn't a cue box or whatever at all. And so they fight, and Brick-a-Brac owns Bones at fighting and kicks their butts.
His design, if they made four more and colored them all different,
oh yeah,
they could do a new Psycho Rangers with this monster design.
They could do the Time Psychos for sure.
Because he's very humanoid.
Yeah, he's not like a bug or a tardigrade or whatever.
No part of him is ridiculously large.
No, I think I'm actually going to, like, find a picture of Brick-a-Brac and put it up with this episode just so everyone can see how amazing he looks. And I'm just kind of disappointed that, like, they looked at his neck and went like, oh, there's squares, like bricks, he's a brick neck. They didn't give him, like, a cool, like, regular name.
They didn't look at, like, how he fights or anything,
right? Or just call, like, him, like, Hitman or something, like some just, like, cool name. They could just call him, like, a cool thing, like, make up a fake name. But they basically called him, like, Brick Face
pretty much,
but, like, it's his neck instead. And I guess, like, breakneck, like, you go fast, but he doesn't, like, run around or anything.
No, he just kicks butt.
Yeah, so I don't know. Missed opportunity.
Butt kick.
Oh, I love butt kick. That's my favorite monster.
It's a sequel to Face Punch.
Oh, you remember Face Punch from the Twilight movies?
Yeah.
When they went to the movie Face Punch? Which I guess is, like, a superhero movie?
Is it?
It's like Kick-Ass.
It was just like, I never put that together. I thought it was just like generic action movie.
Maybe it's just like a regular action movie. Face Punch. Can you imagine? Now, yes, because 2019, there's no more rules. We got rid of them last year. We didn't have time. We just threw all the rules in the garbage. But that came out in, like, what, 2007, 2008? Sometime around then. Maybe even earlier than that, actually, now that I think about it. Can you imagine going to the movies and be like, what do I want to see? Do I want to see, it's 2004 with Serenity. So, like, Serenity, Deep Blue, or Into the Blue, starring Jessica Alba, came out the same day as Serenity. Destroyed at the box office. Serenity got nothing. I'm not still bitter about that. 15 years later, it doesn't matter. And then Face Punch.
I'm going to go see Face Punch every time.
I mean, yeah, probably I'm going to go see Face Punch, but I can't imagine Face Punch doing very well. Like, that's like when you go see Snakes on a Plane.
Right.
But, like, if instead, maybe if Samuel L. Jackson was like, I'm going to punch a face, I would absolutely go see that movie. Yes, please give me that movie. I want to see Samuel L. Jackson and Kenan Thompson and whomever else was in that movie just punching faces. But anyway, Twilight's a weird franchise all around. So Face Punch is fighting the Power Rangers. Now you got it.
See, I coughed a little bit. I gave it back to you.
Damn, I thought I got rid of it. I thought I got rid of the Babadook. Eric shows up and fights some cronies, and Dan Southworth rules. He's so good at fighting.
He has a very similar fighting style to Johnny Youngbosch.
It's got that intensity.
It's got that quick, snappy intensity. Yeah. It's very good. Fighting-wise, based on this episode, I would say they're pretty even. I cannot pick a winner just watching this.
I know we talked about watching Bridge of Dragons when this season's over, but there is a movie that they are both in called, like, Blood of the Yakuza or something like that.
Do they fight?
They do fight. So we gotta watch
that.
It's
like a Dark Link fight.
Yeah. And you just gotta spam Din's fire.
Because Eric is just the Dark Link to Adam's Link, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, 100%.
That's why I still like Adam more. He's a more relatable character to me.
Yeah, no, I like Adam more, I think, as a character. But I think by the end of this season, Eric will have had more character development than Adam ever got, which is kind of a shame because he was there for like 100 episodes.
Yeah, that's just the curse of old Power Rangers.
Yeah. If you weren't Kimberly or Tommy, you didn't get a ton to work with.
Or Billy, I guess, but his whole character development was just does machines and gets dates, even though he's a nerd.
And
because he wears tank tops now.
Yeah, well, even when he was like in big overalls and like a giant shirt, women were like throwing themselves at him, which is like just a weird flex on the part of whoever was making those episodes. Because like I get it. Like, it's fun. Ha ha. The nerd is a chick magnet. Get it? Ha ha ha. But also, like, it feels weirdly that they're like, David Yost is gay. Let's make it so Billy gets a bunch of girlfriends. Because heaven forbid there's any gayness on Power Rangers.
Right. Every Power Ranger is bi. We've gone over
this. Except for Tommy and Joel. And Kelsey's also definitely gay.
And Jason's ace.
And Jason is ace.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joel and Tommy are very straight. I think everyone can agree on that point.
But like, by the way they make Power Rangers, it's pretty queer.
Like, you can just like, I think you can get that from like, anybody watching this. Like, I don't think you're like, oh no, this is a straight show for straight people. Like,
yeah.
it's like whenever, like on comic book runs, whenever there's like a conservative writer who's like, weirdly homophobic, always ends up writing like the gayest runs. Like for like Birds of Prey is just like all of these women are lesbians, but Chuck Dixon like is not someone who would write that on purpose and like just doesn't get it that that's what he's doing. I feel like that's what Power Rangers was for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Eric fighting cronies. He's beating their asses so hard. It's great. Then we cut to him getting the cube box like that is just like loosely placed behind a stair, and he gets it and he runs upstairs and he like stops and there's like two cronies with their guns out and he just has the box and it's a showdown and we go to commercial and we come back and they shoot Eric, but Wes makes the save again and tackles Eric off a building and lands through a smaller building.
Just a shanty wall that I think is inside this building.
There's like
maybe he went into a big empty crate.
There's like an adjacent shed garage, like barn. It looks a little bit like a barn.
Yeah.
But he like protects Eric because he's in Power Ranger mode and Eric is like a human. And so he like takes the brunt of the hit and they land. And he's like, Eric, you got to give me that box. And he's like, no, this is my box, Wes. I hate you. I didn't need your help. You were going to die a second time today, so yeah, you did.
I worry about where Eric is going. I feel like he's going to come around, but and I'm also interested in how it's going to work, because I don't know if I want to talk about it right now. Let's go a little farther, and then we'll come back to it.
So there's like some Sentai footage matching where Eric the like Silver Guardians uniform, like a guy in the Sentai footage is wearing that. It's like very deliberately done that like we're going to use what we can this season because we spent a lot of money a couple years ago and haven't quite got it back since in space. And and also I guess Lightspeed did have a lot of not Sentai footage that they had to film. So maybe they're like just trying to be a little more careful about it. So they got like an outfit that is exactly that. So there's like a couple shots of like this guy from far away and then like Eric in the close-ups. And Eric won't give up the box. A bunch of cronies show up. They're fighting. Wes is very badly injured because he was blown up earlier, fell through a roof, and then gets like stomped on by some cronies and just like loses a fight to them because there's like a bunch of them and Eric. And then Eric is cornered. Wes is on the ground. There's like six cronies lined up. They shoot Eric and he blocks it with the quantum box, the control thing. And it starts glowing, like they activated it, like it was just waiting for like
it needed a recharge.
Yeah, and they did it with their bullets, their laser bullets. And so he goes like, "This is it." And Wes is like, "Please don't do that." And we're cutting back between
Circuit also flies in.
Circuit's there, yeah.
And just perches on a box and is like, "Don't let him do that, Wes."
Just fly over and grab it, Circuit. Make yourself useful, Boobo.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why you stopped short. Just dive bomb him.
You're like a metal bird. Just like hit his head. It would probably suck for a minute at least, and you can get away. Anyway, he's like, "Don't, please." And then Wes, and we're cutting between Sentai footage of Time Red on the ground, filthy. By the way, when the box gets shot and activates, it like glows yellow and bursts and destroys all of the cronies.
Yeah. It's like a mini Zordon wave.
Yeah. And Wes is like filthy in the Sentai footage, regular in the American footage. They didn't want to dirty up the uniform that bad. And I'm talking like just absolutely filthy. Like he's like covered in soot and dirt.
Ugh.
Like the entire upper half of his body is just like blackened by dirt and stuff. And so we're coming between those. And Eric's like, "This is your time is up. My time is now. Prap-a-do." And he puts his hand. He does like a pose and then he punches into the box and the box disappears and turns into a morpher, which I was like, is he going to put his hand in and get a morpher out? What are they going to do with the box?
Is there like a little joystick in there that he wakes the Quantasaurus like up uses, with?
Yeah. Nope. Just morpher now, which I think is actually very cool. Like it looks great.
It's strange though. Does this morpher also have a DNA lock on? I guess because if it does, there could not have been somebody that was sent back.
Well, he was gonna do it, but then it got separated.
Then he just like fell into the time stream.
Yeah.
It's a bad way to go.
You know who that was? That was Tom.
That's Tom. Always comes back to Tom.
It all comes back to Tom. It's an endless loop. And eventually Tom's just gonna come back but he fell out. Sorry, Tom. Now Eric is related to Tommy.
That could be too.
They both do a lot of good kicks.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. So he morphs. He says quantum power and he morphs and we get like the full Sentai thing.
How do you know to say that?
It's second nature, Josh.
Right, he's touching the box, so it's
yeah,
just
he touched
like,
it and he put his hand
downloading
and
into
put his hand
system.
In like an alien box. There's also like a computer that he can talk to that he knows about somehow, which I think is actually pretty great.
That was neat, but also that caught me a lot by surprise.
It's real weird, yeah. I just like it. I was like, yeah, he's got like a Deca on board.
I mean, that happens a little bit later, but it's just like this constant combat analysis.
Yeah.
That just tells him what his best course of action is.
Yeah, it's really great. I'm interested to find out what the Sentai counterpart is. Like, is the... Because this is time fire. Because when he morphs, it says fire on his thing and not quantum because it's a time fire.
Quantum pyre. Yep. It's almost like fire.
It is, you know, but pyre has fire in it.
Quantum power, fire. Like you shoot the power.
Yeah,
out.
Shoot him. Freeze power. Or free, was it free?
Freeze strike.
Freeze strike. It sounds like free strike, which is like an Olympic event where you're doing free, you know, loosey goosey improv karate.
Yeah.
But he morphs. He looks dope. He's got, it's like the exact same thing as Wes, but like a little darker. The white on the shirt is black instead, and the like triangle has like little little like jagged bits.
Yeah.
He leaves because we come back to the Power Rangers getting killed by Face Punch, and Face Punch decides to not only beat them up, but like dunk on them from outer space, like nuclear dunks on them, because they're like, doesn't matter who you are, no one can stop the Power Rangers. They're being beaten up like pretty consistently. And he goes, well, let me introduce myself. I'm no one, and I can beat the Power Rangers. And it's like, oh!
That's a good line. We don't deserve Face Punch.
No.
But I'm glad he's here.
He should have been the main villain, I think.
He should have at least been like the Goldar.
Yeah.
That you send out when you need some damage done.
Yeah, because he rules. So then we hear like this like, tong, tong, tong.
Well, he shoots.
Oh, right. He gets and he's like, who did that? Yeah. And then we hear the clanging noise.
But it's weird because we get a close-up of the source of it, and it's like a Quantum Rex blaster almost.
Yeah.
Is that what they rename it to? Because that's not the real name.
No, they call it the Q-Rex later.
Oh, I just pulled that out of my butt. Yeah,
no, it's good job.
But he's tapping it against his hand, like the outside of his hand.
Yeah.
And that's making the clanking noise.
Yeah. His hand is hard as steel. Also, in the last episode, before he did his like little like target practice, he tapped his hand 3 times. So like, continuity.
Hey, that's good on the writers.
Yeah,
for being, because that's Sentai footage that he's doing that in.
Yeah, in like,
so
the
just
next...
making that a thing that Eric does. Yeah. Before is nice.
It's a pretty good trick.
That's tight.
But I just love how he's like standing up on the top of this like scaffolding, like this like staircase scaffold.
Like a gunslinger. He's like, yeah, leaning back with just his like, legs crossed,
just tapping the gun to his fist, and it's making like high noon chimes. It's, yeah, great. And then he's like, who are you? So Eric puts his balls on the desk and is like, I'm the Quantum Ranger. I'm going to kick your ass. And then a bunch of cronies come up. He comes down as a computer. What's the best course of action? And this like very pleasant lady voice is just like, shoot him and then put it in sword mode. His gun is like a Tyrannosaurus face and it can like shoot out a blade from the top and turn into a sword. It is amazing.
It's very good.
It is like the best possible season one kind of throwback.
Yeah.
It's really good. So then he just wrecks them and kills them all. And it comes down to him versus Face Punch. And he switches it into sword mode. And it's like, when you're ready, use freeze strike. And he does like this like 100,000 slices and then turns around and like cool guy looking away from an explosion. Just like, walks away from Face Punch, getting struck by lightning and blowing up with lightning and dying and turning into an action figure.
Yeah, and it cuts to like the mutant DNA screen, but instead of it like bubbling up and him growing, it just disappears.
Yeah.
And he's dead.
And he turns into a little action figure.
Yep.
And it's like, what?
My big worry about Eric is that he is a dink, and I don't like dink rangers, and I don't know how he's going to play with the team. But
yeah.
What I'm excited about for Eric is just the idea, and I don't know how it's going to go, but the idea of a rogue vigilante ranger.
Yeah.
Or he, as the Quantum Ranger, still leading the Silver Guardians.
Yeah.
So he shows up with like this army, this military basically behind, yeah, him, and the Rangers are like on the other side and the monsters in the middle.
Yeah, that like a lot of good possibilities. And he's a dink, but he's not like, it's not like, he doesn't feel like a dink for no reason. Like it feels,
well, I mean,
he doesn't have a good reason, but it feels,
yeah,
like
he's mad at Wes because Wes wanted to be his friend.
Yeah, it's like he's like a dink. Yeah. But it definitely does, it doesn't feel like he is like snotty. He just got like a big chip on his shoulder, and like they're leaning into that as opposed to like him being like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, you're too slow. I'm the Power Ranger now.
Right.
I'm the Quantum Ranger. You can't catch me. And, you know, he's just like, I hate you, Wes, and I'm the Power Ranger now. I showed you, rich boy. But like, even though Wes was like, hey, let's be friends and hang out, he's like, they hated me.
Yeah, I don't. I don't care what you think. They didn't like me, and so I hate you.
Yeah. What?
Wes.
Wes is... Eric, what are you... What? Bah. Bah. but Wes is like... Even now, you want to talk about Wes being like a good boy. He's like, Eric, are you okay? Like, the first thing he asks is like, is if Eric's all right.
Yeah, but he does have this tone to his voice that's like, you jerk. Like,
yeah.
You SOB. Why did you do that?
Yeah, but he does still ask, which I like.
Yeah. He's like, are you okay?
And then Eric's like, never better. And then we get a freeze frame of the two of them facing off. And then it's like a big wide shot of the two of them morphed facing off. And then like their regular human faces are blown up in the sky.
And like superimposed behind
just
them.
Just like juxtaposed behind them. Like they're low car. I don't know why.
So I guess you could read the tenseness in their faces.
Yeah. It's like, oh, these boys are going to.
Yeah.
They're at it again.
So I'm excited to see where it goes because they could go a few different ways with it. And I'm curious which way that I don't think it's going to go is the way that they choose.
Right. I know, like I watched the season and I know what happens in like a vague sense, but it was like 2 years ago and I have trouble remembering things that I watched a couple days ago, so like I don't remember the beat by beat. I remember a couple things, but like I'm also excited to see how it plays out because I remember loving Trip the whole time and now I'm not just super sold.
Just a little bit of scrutiny.
Yep. And, yep. It's all it takes. So Josh, I started.
Yeah.
What's the best?
The best is Brickneck.
Yeah. That's a good call. He rules.
Yep.
Do I want to give it to Brickneck? I want to give it to Brickneck also. A.K.A. Brickabracka. A.K.A. Brett. A.K.A. Face Punch. Went through a lot on this one.
I almost said A.K.A. and then I would like where I would say the monster's real name. But his real name was Brickneck.
It's actually Brickneck.
That's
yeah.
not one of our dumb joke names.
Nope.
Sometimes it's hard to forget.
Sometimes Power Rangers does a dumb joke name first and then we have to like work around it. It's a little tricky. What's the worst?
The worst, there's not a lot of bad things that happen in the episode.
Right.
So I think my worst for this one is the lack of the other Rangers and how this is very dominantly a Wes and Eric story. And the other Rangers are kind of only here to fight the monster while Wes and Eric are doing some story stuff.
They are very like relegated to like other shots. It's
yeah.
Like, let's just see what they're doing. Okay, then back to Wes and Eric. I don't mind that very much. I'm having trouble, so I think I'm also gonna say like the lack of other Rangers. I don't think that's the like bad. I just think like
yeah.
in a good episode that's the worst. Oh, you know what it is?
We still get some of them like around the table while Wes is injured.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're not here.
Yeah, I think just, Katie had the least to do, which is kind of a bummer. But
yeah, and they all know the story of Eric and Wes. So I feel like when Wes came running up, I was like, that's Eric. There could have maybe been like a little more there.
Like, oh,
or there
God.
Could have been like Wes, not Wes. I'm going to get their names confused all season. There could have been more like Eric interacting with the whole team before he became the Quantum Ranger.
Right.
As opposed to just with Wes.
I actually think what I'm going to worst is the guy who is the new leader of the Silver Guardians. Didn't get a name. Silver Guardian 1.
Oh, you mean you?
You. The new, you get to be the guy because you're right here and I know you. I don't know him, Eric Myers, who introduced himself to me last
and tried
time.
To be my son.
I guess to be fair, like he doesn't have a reason to give it to Eric, but like he also has the exact same amount of reason to give it to anybody because they just hired all of these people. So
yeah.
Like, but yeah, I'm just going to give it to that guy. Number one, for somehow knowing Wes is a Power Ranger, that doesn't kind of make any sense to me. And number two, just for like, just being kind of a weird dink there. Just, I just not a fan of him.
Yeah, the only thing I can think is that there was like a briefing where they were all told that Papa Wes's kid is the Red Power Ranger.
Right, don't kill him because that's your boss's kid.
Yeah.
MVP, I'm going to say is Eric for that last fight. And just like being like a cool gunslinger.
Yeah.
I just kind of love that.
I don't like Eric.
I wish he wasn't like,
but
on a paramilitary for-profit cops.
He's still a heel.
Oh, yeah, for
so
sure.
I'm not supposed to like Eric yet. He's supposed to come around, I think.
Right.
But I have to give it to Eric. Yeah. I want to give it to Wes for going into battle injured because he has to. He's the Red Power Ranger.
And making the save like twice.
Yeah. But I think I'm gonna have to give it to Eric too.
Yeah. Now we got to rank it.
It's a good one.
It was.
So this is kind of an origin story.
Yeah.
So how does this hold up to Rancic Lives?
Ooh, that's actually a pretty good comparison. The last episode is two episodes above Rancic Lives, Worlds Apart.
Yeah.
Is this better or worse than that?
Than Worlds Apart?
Yeah. Because I think this is better than Rancic Lives in some ways, but not better in other ways. But I think it's better than the last episode, but maybe not. I really like this episode, even though it didn't have it didn't have a lot of like lore meat. I mean, it did because it's like a new time dinosaur and like a whole bunch of stuff. I just think like it was like a lot of cool fights and like a lot of like personal stuff mixed in with Power Rangers really well. And I'm always like super down for that.
Yeah. What is a parting of ways? That's when Wes leaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
He jumps off the high porch and tells his dad that he gave all his money to orphans and his dad hates that.
I think this is better than that. So I think it comes down to, is it better or worse than Worlds Apart?
Okay. I'm trying to remember what happened last episode.
I can remember the end. Well, that's when the Silver Guardians first showed up.
Yes. Oh, I really liked that episode. And the end.
Because we got all the school flashbacks.
Yeah. And showed Wes being like a good kid. And he got his mask half blown off, and that was really great.
Did have a visor break.
Not a lot of those running around. I think last episode is better.
I think it is.
So
I'll put it right under that.
Yeah, right under that. So coming in at number four, The Quantum Quest. That's going to do it for us for today. It's also going to do it for us for this week. Because next episode is the start of a two-parter. I don't remember what it's called. You got to pull it up.
I do.
Or did you change it to go look at something else?
I changed it to look up elves.
Ah, beans.
Hang on. I just go back. Yeah, next week's going to be Clash for Control.
Ooh. It's a two-parter. So there's not going to be an episode on Friday. I don't know who. I know who's clashing. It's going to be like the Power Rangers, Silver Guardians, and Eric.
Right.
And I like.
Eric's probably going to have to pick a side.
Yeah, oh, I'm very excited about all this.
Because Papa Wes is probably going to be mad that he's a Power Ranger now.
Yeah, or...
Instead of, like, using the technology like the other guy said they should do, yeah. And now they have an in, I feel like he's not going to do it.
I don't remember, to be completely honest. I feel like Papa Colin's going to be like, now you can be my son.
I would like to see the Megazord fight the big T-Rex, though.
Yeah...
We'll just have to wait and see. I'm excited.
Stay tuned. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Until then,
may the power protect you. Time Force! Time Force! Power Rangers!
So I do this cough, right?
Yeah.
And you
do this cough.
And I keep doing this cough. And it's at the point where I'm pretty sure next time I cough, listen carefully, I think I coughed the melody to the Rugrats theme song.